Stars hang with stars. Winners hang with winners.
Welcome to the House of Strauss on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Yo, man, everyone's homebound, man. Ain't nobody. There's no traveling. Where have you? Do you watch the news?
Well, no, we watch quite a bit of news right now. It's I was just saying to Jade, it's getting pretty real. It's getting a little too real out here. Yeah, yeah.
The part where like gun stores are running out of ammo. Like, I'm sorry. Like, now I'm starting to get concerned.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. And I've never been a gun guy ever, and I've always thought we had too many guns. But this whole thing has me thinking, like, man, I wish I just knew. Like, I wish I knew how to fire a gun.
For real, man. It's like it's too late to even learn at this point. Like,
yeah,
that's the problem. It's not like, oh, the moral quandary. It's like, I can't even do this shit even I want to.
Yeah. I have these regrets because a friend of ours, he's one of these secret gun guys who lives in San Francisco, and he's been saying, hey, we should go to the range. And I never really took him up on it. And now I'm thinking,
it's a nice skill to have. Maybe you shouldn't use it, but like to have in the, like, push comes to shove. It's like being able to change your own oil. It's nice to know how to do that. You don't want to actually do it, but it's nice that push comes to shove, you're able to do it.
Tony told the old man to tell me to tell you. It's what it is.
What it is.
It's what it is. Please listen to me.
They wouldn't dare. They wouldn't dare. Jimmy, please, Frank, come on.
Don't say they wouldn't dare.
No, don't tell me that kind of that's fairy tale. No,
please, don't say they wouldn't dare.
Please. Something funny happens to me. They're done. You understand that? And they know it because I got files. I got proof.
We are joined by Amin El Hassan. It is starting to get really, really real in the Bay Area and much of the country. But I'll tell you what I love about it is even though these are terrifying times, it still comes with a softening Bay Area euphemism for what's actually happening. We have been declared in the Bay Area in the six counties that comprise around 6.2 million people to effectively never leave our house. It's a shelter-in-place order, Amin. It's not a quarantine. It's shelter-in-place. It's just a comforting shelter-in-place. So no worries. It's just shelter-in-place. So what's so bad about that?
You know, it's funny because from the get-go, I haven't been worried about the disease, like, ravaging and killing half the population. I'm worried about our reaction, right? And that's what's really the scary part. Much like all the, like, paper product manufacturers and retailers are like, guys, like, this doesn't happen if you guys don't freak out and try to buy. Like, I mean, we could do the same thing for vodka, right? We could say, oh, vodka, we need vodka, and run out of vodka. That doesn't mean that vodka is essential or that there's going to be a vodka shortage in the future, as long as we just keep our regular consumption patterns the same. But the problem is, in the words of which movie was that, where he says, a person isn't stupid. People are stupid.
Oh, Men in Black. Men in Black.
Men in Black. Oh, that's right. Yeah, there you go. It's my man Tommy Lee Jones said it, right? People are stupid. And we are proving it in droves right now that people are just dumb. Just dumb. Like the scenes of these supermarkets where everything's cleared out, but there's cases and cases of Corona still on the shelves. Like that just proves how dumb people are.
Well, are we a nation of the least creative poopers in the world? Is that what's going on right now, where people are buying up all this toilet paper? They don't even understand how to use a soft leaf if worst comes to worst. Look, nobody wants to use something other than toilet paper. I get it. I understand it. It just seems as though if there's a civilizational breakdown, it's not high on the list, right? Or am I crazy?
No, here's the thing. Here's the reality. Like, as luck would have it, about 2 weeks ago on an episode of my podcast, Black Opinions Matter, which you can find on all streaming sites. We talked about the etiquette of having to go when either staying over at a significant other's place or having the significant other stay at your place. And I said, I'm very uncomfortable with going. First of all, I'm uncomfortable with road games, right? Like, I'm very much a home arena pooper, whether it's at my house or at my hotel room, which I would count as a neutral site, but I own the rights to the parking and concessions and all that. So it's still a home game for me. That's one. But two is I'm not comfortable pooping when people are around, right? Like if I'm in a public bathroom, God forbid, and I can't hold it, but there's someone in there, I got to wait until they leave before I will allow myself to evacuate. So, but most of the time I poop at home or in my hotel room for one real serious reason, which is I like to enjoy taking a shower afterwards. just clean it all up. Like, just, yeah, I use the toilet paper, but then afterwards I jump in the shower.
It's Pavlovian almost.
Man, like, look, man, it's just like, let's be clean. Like, if we're going to be clean, let's be clean, yes. Right? And so push comes to shove. If we run out of toilet paper, I think I can make do without it because I'm not one of these people that goes about my day after taking a dump. Also, realize I'm in a rarity in that I only dump once a day, usually in the morning, right after I get up. Turns out people are dumping multiple times a day out here.
Yeah, and I've heard it has no real correlation to health. It's just completely arbitrary as far as how often that happens. Maybe a doctor can tell me I'm wrong. Maybe a doctor can tell me I'm wrong about a whole range of what's happening. I thought we were going to talk about whether I was –
Do you dump more than once a day?
I don't know. I've never really thought to think about it.
You don't dump at a regular time? Like, I know clockwork. I get up.
I think the average would be more than one, but that doesn't mean that it's always two. You know what I mean? It'd be like one point something. I don't know what the R not on pooping would be. But yeah, I think that's a little unusual to just have one.
I'm routine. I get up, I brush my teeth. While I'm brushing my teeth, the rumble starts. I go take a dump. Take a shower. I'm good. Now, sometimes if last night was a late night, the routine gets shocked. Sometimes, like in terms of like it doesn't happen right away. Sometimes it'll happen. I'll leave. So if I had a late night, got to go to the studio to do early morning radio, I will often not shower because I anticipate the rumble will happen later. And then when I come back after radio, I'll shower and then move on. So it's, I don't know.
Let me tell you something. Whatever the average is, I feel like it's going up. I feel like it's going up in the Bay Area right now. People are starting to get from it being this abstract thing to getting those jelly legs when they're really hit with it. And they start going, what's going to happen? I'm trying to be stoic for my family and trying to be the very calm patriarch of, yes, we'll make it through. Everything's fine. Everything's okay, honey. It's all – but in my head, I'm going, am I sure it's okay? Is this going to be the purge? What's going to happen here? What's going to go down?
I'm fairly upbeat and making jokes about it with my family, but I know, like, if it comes down to, like The Walking Dead, we're going to be the first to go. Like, A Quiet Place, we're the first to go. Like, we're just not suited. I know my family. I know me. We're not suited for this life.
Yeah, my son is not ready for The Quiet Place. That is certainly the case. And maybe we're all, you know, maybe this is all too much. I will say, and we'll get to it, I don't even know how much fire in my belly there is to defend my own position at this point.
I was by myself, I don't know how to ride a motorcycle. You know, in all these post-apocalyptic worlds, you got to learn how to ride a motorcycle. You got to ride the streets.
Yeah, once this is all over, I'm going to have to acquire a whole range of skills that I never thought I would have to.
Like what?
Well, like riding a motorcycle. How to bludgeon.
You're not going
to. How to bludgeon?
Those things.
I've never been taught how to properly bludgeon, you know, and maybe I need to know. It's very important to know. But I thought that we would talk about whether I was too hard on the NBA. Do we even care at this point? I mean, do we even care?
I care.
Let me just establish that I think there's something funny about it because you, sir, are not the least judgmental person in the world and perhaps are the most judgmental about when you feel I am being judgmental. True or false?
I got confused by all the judgmentals.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little opening flurry. A little opening flurry to try to confuse you.
Yeah, I just think that there was among a certain segment of the population, which I may or may not have classified as hipster basketball nerd Twitter.
Oh, God, I would thought never was, be accused of being in that cohort.
Thought it was cool to onslaught the NBA and only the NBA about the timing of the cancellation of games. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like while the NBA may not have been the very first entity to do it, if we're drawing a curve, they are well ahead of the curve in terms of how many different entities kept going, some of whom most notably of which Champions League Soccer, who had multiple positive tests among their players and were playing in countries where, like, it was ravaging. And they're like, we're going to play with no fans.
Yeah.
We won't let them fist bump, but let them hug afterwards. Like, no, I didn't hear any of you people mention. And I'm not saying, like, I'm not saying what about.
Yeah.
If we're going to criticize, my point was we criticized the entire entertainment establishment because Broadway still kept going. Because there were Big East games going like hours or like 12 hours after the NBA announced their cancellation. There were a lot of other entities that were just full speed ahead, Captain. And yet somehow the focus of your article and many other articles was NBA, NBA, NBA. And I think you can only compare to the peer group. And with regards to the peer group, the NBA was not only ahead of the curve, was influential in all the other leagues and entities saying, hey, we need to do something because they're doing something.
So, okay. Well, to establish what we're talking about, first of all, I wrote about how
– you should have done that to start.
Yeah, I know. I'm no radio professional. And these are crazy times. There are no rules anymore, Amin. Society is broken down. We don't need to establish what we're talking about while we're talking about it. But I wrote an article on how the NBA dragged its feet and prioritized profits over perhaps stemming the pandemic. And I would reduce – my argument, although there are many factors to it, down to this. How can you have a sign outside of Chase Center saying that going to the game increases your chance of getting COVID-19 and play the games? Just how can you do that? And which health experts were saying it was a good idea to do that? Because it's not like a fan gets hit by a foul ball. To have two games with fans in a fully packed arena when you as an organization are admitting that this is an increased risk of COVID-19, which means an increased risk for everybody. It's not like getting hit with a foul ball where it's just you. This is
how many concerts got canceled?
Around the world? Like,
no,
where?
Just in Northern California.
In Northern California, I cannot tell you. I will say you have a very good point that the other leagues were dragging their feet as well.
Ethan, baseball wouldn't cancel their goddamn preseason. These are the most meaningless games. They're playing their preseason games in two of the highest concentration communities of elder people, the most vulnerable population. And they were like, I don't know if we're going to cancel. And we're holding these people accountable, like we're holding the NBA accountable alone?
Well, you had these other factors where the Wizards ownership group was told by DC to shut it down and said, yeah, thanks, no thanks, on the same day where later Gobert came down with it.
They weren't told to shut it down. They were recommended. And that's my thing. We need to expect more of our public institutions if it's a case where people should not go. It would be like having a fire hazard, having more than, let's say, for sake of argument, more than 100 people in somewhere, and the fire marshal's outside, and there's like 200 people in there. Like, I wouldn't go in there if I were you. No, that's not how it works.
No, the fire marshal says, don't go in there.
You can't let more people in, and we're going to start kicking, and we're going to shut down the night. That's how the fire marshal works.
I completely agree with you on that point in general. That there was a lack of authority and clear direction overall. I guess one last point, though, I would make is that once you have an outbreak in your city, once you're admitting that there are increased risks, it's a little weird when you shut it down, say, for the passing of Kobe Bryant. I'm not saying that's the wrong decision at all, but you postpone a game there, but you can't do it, let's say, for the last place Warriors.
Two different organizations, two different scenarios, one. Two, it's when you're postponing one game, like they didn't postpone their season. They said, just one game, and it's easier to move one game than it is to move an entire season. Three, and perhaps most importantly, and I made this case for several people, even for the entertainment, because like, I was on the radio today, and my co-host was going off on how selfish Post Malone is to have a concert, right? And my thing is this. It's like, yes, Post Malone, you don't have enough money, you just money go. Yes, he's fine. But the reality is there are multitudes of people, not millionaires, not billionaires, who are relying on these employment opportunities. They need it, right? And so the decision by – and I'm not saying that like Peter Guber and Joe Lacob were like, but what about like Mo and all the other like
– what about Ramon Martinez, guy? Man? Yeah. That guy's cool.
Yeah, I'm not
by
saying
the way, I was saying like, not to be too glib about it, but – If the outbreak was happening and I had to come to work, I would avoid Ramon Martinez, the head of security over there at Chase, just because
serial he is the dapper.
Yeah, he is the dap master.
Yeah, he's a serial dapper. But hey, shout out to Ramon, he's my guy. I'm not.
Marcus wrote a great article on him and the general team, which. I got to say, I mean, they're under economic duress like a lot of people are, but there is this weird display of pitying the stadium worker as though these are Oliver Twist urchins. And as opposed to who they really are, which are very, you know, sturdy, resilient people who, you know, maybe this will be a tough time for them, but they are not pitying themselves nearly on the level of they are being pitied.
Sure. And that is the true among all who are going through tough times, who are used to tough times, excuse me. They're never going to pity themselves. That doesn't mean they are not deserving of our empathy, right?
Yep.
And for many of those people, again, that's not their full-time job, right? This is something that they're one of many jobs that they need to supplement to make ends meet in their homes. And so the decision to cancel a game isn't just merely like, all right, we'll make it up later. It's no, I need to figure out what's going to happen to these people.
Yeah. I would say, I still disagree with you. And I come down to I just come down to you can't have that sign up. You can't acknowledge the risk.
So they shouldn't have the sign.
And keep doing it.
That would have been better. That would have been better to not have the sign up.
I think the sign was an admission of liability. I don't think it's of the course, sign. No. I don't think it's the sign that matters. I think it's the knowledge of what's happening that the sign.
No,
conveys
hold on, Ethan. You think any other event that was happening that week or in the last couple of weeks, for that matter, happened out of ignorance that something was happening? They all knew. I was at Sloan. They knew. They told us to elbow bump and moisturize and disinfect frequently. Mm-hmm. Like the Sloan, the smartest people in our industry, do they not get shit for having a whole conference of people?
Man, Daryl Morey, it'd be a tough year for Daryl Morey if we all start piling on right now.
But that's my point. My point is, it is.
I'm trying to get back to you. I'm trying to get back to where you are because I think we have a difference of opinion on this, but only slightly. And I think overall, I am sympathetic to the idea that you are conveying that this happened very fast, that it's complicated, that these institutions aren't necessarily set up to know what to do when something like this happens, just because it's so unusual.
All of that you just said, absolutely. And then tag on top of it, it's irresponsible to single out a league that did it.
I would push back on it. Like, it's not like I cover the PGA. It's not like I cover the PGA Tour. You know what I mean?
But it's not about whether you cover this sport or not. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not an idiot.
And I would push back that they were on the forefront. They were not on the forefront once Gobert came. Once Gobert came down with it, there wasn't a municipality.
Name the forefront.
Hold on. There was no forefront.
Let me name the institutions that were not on the forefront. MLB. NHL, XFL, Broadway, Champions League Soccer.
Okay, Miami South, Open. South by Southwest. Pretty much every major institution in San Francisco, San Francisco Symphony, pretty much every major institution that had any kind of crowd in the city of San Francisco shut down.
Hold on. You named the symphony. That's one. Okay. What major institution? What
else? Hey, Amin. The list goes on.
And the list goes on. Exactly. That's my point. Ethan, you are adamant that the NBA wasn't on the forefront, but yet I'm naming all the people
No. You misunderstand. I'm saying that the idea that the NBA was it in any way progressive because it was first, I think, is a misnomer. It's because Rudy Gobert came down.
You can be. Regardless of the reason, you're right. You're absolutely right. That's why Bruce Arthur called him the idiot hero.
That was a fascinating argument by Bruce Arthur. So you read that too.
Yeah, that was absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, the idea that we all hate brilliant. Rudy Gobert, and Rudy Gobert shut down the NBA season. Scapegoat. He'll never play in this league again. Or did by getting sick, Rudy Gobert get everybody to properly take this seriously in a way that we would have been too late to take it seriously?
Rudy Gobert being the idiot hero influenced the league to shut down, which in turn influenced a lot of other institutions to shut down, which in turn influenced millions of people in this country to finally take this thing seriously. Yeah. So there's an argument you can make for me that the NBA unwittingly – not by their choice, but out of being forced, became our greater idiot heroes. But they're still heroes nonetheless, as opposed to all the other institutions that just follow. And that's my point. My point is, it doesn't matter whether they did it because they were forced to do it, or they did it out of this insane foresight. And the point is, they did it, and they did it before a lot of other people did it.
And I wouldn't give them that much credit.
Ethan, what are you talking about?
I wouldn't give them the credit that all that matters is they did. Why? Because, they would not have. Like, they would not have been allowed. They would,
or whatever your favorite bar down the street was. They did it. That doesn't. They don't.
No, it's
count.
Because
I'm
they
sorry.
Wouldn't have been allowed to keep doing it because these cities were already about to shut them down after Gobert comes down with it. It's done. It's like Logan Roy after the board meeting vote.
Okay, no,
it's
I don't watch that show. But anyways, the point is this. So here's another way to put it. After Gobert, these cities were gonna shut down. So again, Gobert is the impetus. So why did these cities shut down 2 weeks ago or a week ago? Well, because one NBA player caught it. Is it more powerful when he catches it? Is it more deadly, more spreading when he got – no, because it finally put a face on it and a realization that this thing is hitting here and it's everywhere. And it doesn't matter how much money you got. It can come hit you and you can feel fine and it can still hit you. And
I think there's also a sense of if it's in the NBA ecosystem, we don't know how many players have it. There's also that.
Yeah, sure. But the point being is the decision – you are giving credit to municipalities for – as of Wednesday, talking about, okay, maybe we should shut stuff down. What? Unlike the NBA and Major League Baseball and Broadway and all these, as cities, you have a public health department. You got a staff of people that not only work on this all year long, but also coordinate at the state level and at the federal level with other people who work on this all year long.
And a lot of those health departments.
They're the ones who waited until an NBA player got sick and touched microphones.
To be fair, some of those health departments were saying to shut it down before that point. Certainly the San Francisco Public Health Department, but
they were giving
announcements and basically saying to the Warriors, not very happy to the Warriors, but the Warriors don't have authority. There's a case of the authority. The authority has to come from the top. It has to come from the top.
The fire marshal doesn't say, hey, guys, I really think it'll be a bad idea. The fire marshal says, everyone get the hell out.
but he still has the Eddie Murphy white guy voice when he says it. That's still part of it.
Which, by the way, on the recent episode of Cinephobe with me and Zach Harper, which is the movie where the podcast where we review bad movies, and you can find that under the Count the Dings feed wherever you stream your podcast. We discovered that the John Ritter is probably the inspiration behind the black guy, white guy voice.
Oh yeah.
Cause everything about John Ritter is just that like cheesy and the voice is very right here in this, but the point being again, not to be sidetracked with my plugs and self promotion. The point being is, we all bear responsibility. Yes.
Yes.
But to single the NBA out, to me, is kind of ridiculous when, A, there are other perpetrators, many of whom were late to the scene after the NBA, even though they waited for the NBA to be the first to do it, to follow their lead. And then, B, if you really want to get gully with it, you can say, yeah, the NBA was late, but you know who else was late? Government.
Well, yeah. Well, okay, so now we're going to enter the part where we do agree, because this idea that everybody's going to know what to do absent some direction from the top, I think, is a fallacy. And you see on Twitter, you've seen the past few days, over the weekend, there are people at restaurants, and you see all these people on Twitter who are angry about it and going, come on, people, what the hell? And I'm thinking to myself, if the restaurant is open, it's a lot to expect people just to intuit that we don't do that anymore, especially if they're not news addicts, especially if they're not on Twitter all the time. How are they supposed to really process the idea that, well, these restaurants are open and the mall is open, but if I go, I'm a jerk? I mean, that's weird. And, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
And by the way, to those restaurateurs who need the income, who have employees, and they themselves are often on a very fleeting basis able to make ends meet. So it's irresponsible to say, hey, I know if you don't do this, you'll probably go out of business and all your guys get unemployed. But can I trust you not to be open? No.
there needs to be some sort of shut it down order from the top.
Absolutely. This is what we're doing.
Today I was seeing that, you know, Clearwater, Florida, there are thousands and thousands on the beach and all these people are mad about it. And I'm thinking to myself, I mean, it wasn't intuitive to people. I mean, last week, if somebody said, should you go to the beach? I'd go, yeah, it seems fine. You're outdoors, I guess. I mean, 6 feet. I mean, it's not obvious to people what is okay and isn't okay without some sort of clear direction, without some sort of clear law.
That's the role of government. That's literally the role of government. It's the same thing with, like, you know, having a turnpike that has a toll on it. Why? Because, like, this is the only way we can afford to have this road be maintained. If not, people are going to use it and say, well, who's tipping in on this? I thought you were going to stay home. That's why we need people, like institutions, to draw lines where people cannot cross.
And there are obviously some legal complexities. There's legal complexities. I don't even know if it's legal to do what Santa Clara County did first.
But guess what?
Sharks.
How many people heard that and said, well, I'm going right to court. Nobody did, because they took it seriously. Because, again, for the most part, you're right, there are people who are not as informed as others. But for the most part, we all know there's this thing going on. And our ability to determine whether it's that serious or not comes from the cues of government. And so Santa Clara said, nope, we're not doing it. And not a single person was out there in Supreme Court challenging it. You know why? They're like, they probably really mean this.
Before you give out the order, it's hard to know whether you'll get pushback for it or whether you've gone too far. But it's obvious in the aftermath of it that everybody is shrugging and going, yeah. I mean, there isn't anybody – maybe this person exists, but for the most part, there isn't anybody out there going, you know, I was concerned about COVID-19 before, but now, yeah, it seems like no big deal. Yeah. Like, that person doesn't exist.
Right. Exactly. To me, there's a lot of blame to spread, and I'm not shirking it. And I'm one of these people too, that probably, you know, didn't take it as serious. You know, I was still up until Wednesday. I was making my schedule for future jump appearances because I just didn't think it would reach to a point where we were all grounded. That's my fault.
And I think everybody's in a weird place right now, where there's been this moral dimension to all our decision making.
Has been inserted
into our lives. Where do I hug my mom? Well, I don't know if I hug my mom now. I didn't go to a wedding of a very good friend of mine, and that felt like a shitty thing to do, but it also would have felt like a shitty thing to do to go to the wedding. Like, I don't know anymore.
I have a friend, Ethan, who went to a wedding in Morocco, right? And when Trump had the whole travel thing happen, she was like, we're coming home. And then and it was a case of like, man, we came all the way to Morocco and the bride and everyone's like leaving. They felt kind of like a little like obligated to, man, we should probably stay. It's not. And then it's like, oh, we're U.S. citizens, so it's not going to be a problem for us to fly home. And then Morocco shut its borders. Mm. And now they're stuck.
Yeah.
And again, like these are all things that if local government took it as seriously as they should have taken it. And it's not one of those. And by the way, that's another thing. They're the ones who know what's happening in China and Singapore and South Korea and Japan and all these places that got hit first. They're the one. They had a cheat sheet. Like yeah. Someone explained, like someone giving you a cheat sheet. And you crumbled up like, I'm going to wing it.
Like, dude, it's amazing. I believe less than a month ago, that huge debate, the huge Democratic debate happened. The really interesting one where Warren was going at Bloomberg. And I think 20 million people watched. I believe it was less than a month ago. And basically, nobody was talking coronavirus anything, even though this would be the huge thing that shut down the world. This wasn't at the top of the agenda of what was being discussed less than a month ago. It's absolutely mind boggling.
And these are the people, and I'm just trying to make sure I paint with a broad brush, lest it seem like I am politically angling one way or another. These are all the people who had access, not only had access to the information, but also it's their job. It's their job to make these tough decisions. That's like literally the role of government. You're supposed to look out for the citizens because the citizens are morons who often won't look out for anything other than what's in front of their nose, right? And I'm not preaching for a big brother state or anything like that. I'm just saying.
The lack of foresight is kind of staggering considering what's
happening. I can't pick up the phone and talk to the Minister of Health of Singapore or Malaysia. I can't do that. But I'm pretty sure there are plenty of people.
You're kind of big time now. I feel like you could maybe pull it off. I don't know.
But the point is there are plenty of people in the government who could have done that. Or South Korea or any of these places, right? They could have done that and they could have taken steps and they didn't. And so if we're going to point a finger, we got to start at the top of the top. But if we're not going, if we're just going to say sports, if we're limiting our conversation to sports, I find it very hard for you to start with the NBA. You can say sports.
You can
start naming other names, but the NBA by itself to be on an island,
I think there's something to what you're saying. Ridiculous. I also think 20,000 in a tin can might be an order of magnitude of risk higher than some of the other institutions we might be naming, but who knows? There's more
Because 16,000 people go to a hockey game instead of 18,000. They're all right.
Well, it would not be an order of magnitude.
Broadway shows?
It's because the ice freezes. It's because the ice freezes it, and it just doesn't. No, there's more that we
actually know.
It's really Post Malone is the one we should be condemning above everybody else. There's more that we don't know right now than that we do know, and it seems to be making day to day life a crazy paranoid trip where you don't quite know what you're doing, if it's right. It's not even about you. It's about spreading it to somebody else, and you don't even know what you're going to be allowed to do, and you don't know who has authority to what. Right now, California, for instance, has said basically quarantine everybody. I don't know how they actually impose that.
Enforce.
Yeah. It's like if I get to the border and I'm about to go to Tahoe, Nevada side, is there going to be some sort of law officer there who just – he's got his gun, but when I drive past, he just goes, come on, come on, come back, come back. Or is it going to be gun in your face? I mean, what's the deal? What's going to happen?
So Miami Beach, I heard Levitar talk about this. Miami Beach was actively writing citations to people on the beach. Miami Beach PD, right? In Italy, where obviously it's a lot worse than what we have here. But as many experts are saying, is we are exactly where Italy was like 3 weeks ago or whatever. In Italy – you're not allowed to leave your house without documentation. papers, basically, just like you know, a World War II movie. The documentation indicates where you're from in terms of like not where you're from, but like I'm from the corner of 13th and Orchid, and where you're going. Like it's basically a hall pass for you to go. I'm going to the supermarket. I'm going to the bank. It's a limited amount. I'm going to a pharmacy, right? If you're caught without it, you're without authorization, you are liable to a fine of up to 200 euros, I believe. Mm. If you are someone who has been tested positive and you're caught without it or you're caught out at all, you can be charged with like felony crime. Like you could do jail time over this. Right. That's how they're tackling it. Obviously, again, they are more advanced than we are as far as how it's spread. But the reality is, yeah, you got to start writing tickets. You got to start making people feel it.
I am sympathetic to the idea that the blame is spread far and wide. And, you know, I mentioned it wasn't brought up in the Democratic debate. I think it's fine to talk a little bit of politics. I think most people would agree that Trump did not cover himself in glory on this particular issue. I think is that something we can say that is not going to get a tremendous amount of pushback? You know, I'm just throwing that out there. Yeah.
without a whole lot of diving into the political pool, I can just say two things. One, saying that things are okay, rather than we need to take this thing seriously.
Yeah,
probably didn't help. And that was a month ago, right? Or yeah, more than a month
there
ago.
There were a lot of people who take their cues from him who were imbibing this idea of it's just the flu. That seems to be the case. And it's actually a position on which he could have provided some tangible harm reduction, because there are people out there who do listen to him mirror his worldview. And if he had said this is serious early on, then maybe you get some more social distancing.
By the way, and there's always also a segment that neither follows him blindly nor adores him, nor instantly rejects everything he says. There's a segment of people that live in this country that are like, well, the president said it's not that big of a deal, and he wouldn't let millions of people get infected, right? I know it sounds ridiculous, but there's a segment of people who are willing to give the president of the United States, whoever it is, the benefit of the doubt on a matter as serious as this, right? So you're right there. But then there's another thing. The firing of the team of people whose whole job it was to like be on the lookout for shit like this and help us prep for that 2 years ago. And then for him to say, well, I didn't do that. Like, as John Oliver said last night, he said, As everyone remembers, Harry Truman had that thing on his desk and said, the buck stops somewhere up there. Tony, you know where the buck stops? Like, those are realities. I think no matter which way you lean on the political spectrum, you can agree. Yeah.
Well, we are
not the best.
We are very far from basketball right now, but I do wonder, because here's the thing. I think the owners and everybody else should be coming up with these temporary, it could happen here, we might do this, we might do that plans, because what else are you going to do? But the bottom line is, they are at the mercy of the news. They are at the mercy of current events.
Who had that plan? You show me who had that plan and what's wrong with it. This is what could happen if it happens here. Show me who in this country had that plan. I'll run with it.
Oh, that's my point. No. Oh, you're talking about something else. I'm talking about like right now with them saying start the, have the playoffs in the summer and all that.
But who the hell knew this was going to happen, Ethan? And how do you know when any of it is going to end? Like you said, oh, you guys don't even know what to do. No shit, Sherlock. Look around. Yeah. Nobody knows what to do. We're running out of toilet paper. like it's the recession.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
We don't know when the games are going to come back.
No, I'm not worried about that. I'm just saying when we talk about the basketball calendar, we're obviously doing this in the most speculative way possible, right? Like it sounds like something that could conceivably happen. It sounds like something that could plausibly happen.
Really?
That the game started up again in the summertime. But I don't think anybody will be shocked if it doesn't happen.
that's my thing. Look, there's two schools of thought, right? There's two schools of thought. School of thought number one, the glass half full school, is hey, 2 months, Summertime, hopefully that's
the groundhog comes out. He yawns, he stretches, he looks at the world anew.
Yeah, so summertime now hopefully quells this thing a little bit. We pick back up late June. Let's just assume we can get the arena dates all together. We're going to start the playoffs. Sorry, Portland. Sorry, San Antonio. Sorry, New Orleans. Sorry, Sacramento. But that's why you don't go in a big hole to start the year. We play the playoffs. We go. Finals are in August, and then the draft end of August, and summer league is in September, and then we report to camps in December, right? And Christmas starts our new season, and now we have the plan that Steve Koonin, CEO of the Atlanta Hawks, had already outlined. Completely coincidentally,
sounds like a fine plan that can be easily torn asunder by events the NBA has no control over. But sounds like a fine plan.
Sure,
you know,
yeah. That's what I'm saying. This is the optimist look, right?
Yeah,
like we're not going to miss anything. We're going to have a 2019-2020 champion, and this is going to make us move our schedule into parts of the year that are probably more advantageous for us in terms of the general kind of attention span of the public. That's glass half full. Glass half empty is, look, no, there is no 1994.
The season is lost.
There's no 94 World Series champ. There's no 1919 Stanley Cup champ. There were no Olympic champs in 1940 or 44. There were no World Cup champs in 42 or 46, I believe. That's just life. Like, sometimes we don't get to have our fun stuff. And so there will be no 2020 champ, and we just start back up in the fall, and hopefully by then we'll have more medical answers to this thing that currently has none.
Yeah. I mean, that does sound like the two scenarios. I wonder what happens with the NBA draft, maybe just from a Warriors Bay Area perspective.
I mean, that doesn't change, right?
In theory,
it doesn't change.
Well, you know, I was on with Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari recently, and they were asking, oh, what do the Warriors do with the mid-level? And I was thinking, I cannot even possibly fathom.
What's the mid-level going to be? That's another question.
Yeah, it's like I can't wrap my mind around when that is so useful and what the money will be or anything else.
The precedent that I can't remember who brought up. It might have been Larry Coon, but the precedent he brought up was – when they were coming out of the lockout in 2011, obviously their basketball-related income was a lot lower than expected. So how do you have a salary cap for 11-12? And they just agreed to keep it to whatever it was the year before, right? And figured it'll make itself up sooner or later, and wish it did. So I think that's one thing we can look at. We can look at if the league and the Players Association collectively agree, hey, we'll just pretend like everything is the same, and we'll keep it moving. The problem is, and again, this is where you're at the mercy of the news. How do we know? This is assuming that normalcy. By October 1 next year, everything is going to be back to normal. Remember that whole scare? Yeah, that was crazy.
It was like Y2K. It was, you know, it was crazy.
Yeah, except for Y2K, we had people like starting like 1989. Start planning for this thing that was more than a decade away, as opposed to this thing that we're literally, it feels like we're scrambling right now to react to, right? At least Y2K had a lead up, and we knew there was a date and everything, and we had to get everything reprogrammed. In this case, the whole country is playing catch up, and starting with the people who should have been worried about this to begin with. So when you talk about the league trying to make any sort of decisions, that's tough. It's tough to do because you don't know. Because we don't know, like, that, again, by October 1 next year, that things will be back to normal. What if they're not? What if we're still dealing with all of this, right? What if we cancel this and still have to start in Christmas, right? If that, right? If we get inoculated and all those things. So
it's like, what if some super genius tomorrow goes, I have the cure, right? It's just, you don't. Yeah. It's right. So unpredictable. It's so unpredictable right now.
Turns out flan. If you just eat flan, it knocks it all out.
I mean, I'm somewhat hopeful. I think that some of the measures that are being taken now can hopefully take this from an exponential growth situation to one of more linear growth. And then maybe you can reverse it. You look to South Korea. You look to some of these countries that have been able to do that. Hopefully. These measures that are being taken can do that. But everybody else, who the hell knows?
I mean, But and also that's another reality that we have to face is that one of the reasons why these countries were able to get a handle on it, and again, that's not to say that they've it's not an issue for them anymore. It's just they got a better grip on it than we do.
Yeah, which to be fair, like Andy Liu was slamming us relative to South Korea and some of these other countries in East Asia, and you know, I had to push back a little bit and say, yeah, they handled it great, but they've also had a series of these pandemics like SARS,
yes,
where they got these. It's real in these countries versus with the United States. But, I mean, we just haven't really dealt with this like this.
Yes, that's true. But there's something else that's at work that's even more important, right? Regardless of whether people are taking it seriously or not, is their capacity for testing is way more advanced than ours, right?
Yeah.
And the idea that like they tested 100,000 people. We're just going
like Jeff Bezos like dropped them down in a bunch of parachutes for us or something, you know.
I fully believe we're at a point right now where everyone has a desire to know if they got it or not. The problem isn't that. The problem is we don't have enough testing kits. So our policy as a country right now is – if you think you got it, you can get tested. But if you like, you haven't been in contact with anybody who came from Italy or anything, you're fine. You're fine. Just sit over there in a corner by yourself. And again, and so, you know, someone said, well, you either got it or don't. What does it matter if you're going to quarantine anyway? It matters because we need to know. We need to know how many people have it, how far it's spread. That gives us a clear idea as opposed to us just all living in fear. And so these are the things that need to happen. But again, this is very far from basketball, even farther from the idea that this is all the NBA's fault.
Well, with that, my family wants to do a family meeting quite literally behind me because I'm recording this in my car. I'm just watching the neighbors just packing stuff into their car as they're about to move out and flee before the midnight order takes effect.
Where are they going to go? Where are
they going? I have no idea. I didn't ask them. I'm just watching them. I'm just watching them out of the rearview mirror right now.
Like a creep.
Exactly like a creep. You know, planning to see what I will loot from their abandoned house. That's really what I'm going for if we're the left behind people. You know, I've seen Contagion. I've seen Matt Damon loot the abandoned house. I know that's what you do. So, with that in mind, Amin, this has been great. You've straw-manned me something proper yet again and done so magnificently. We wish you the best of luck.
Straw man. Your whole argument was a straw man. The NBA should have known better.
I can't believe you said that that the NBA handled every decision perfectly and is a model citizen for us all to celebrate, and that Donald Trump did a great job on this whole thing. That was weird. When you said Trump did a great job, right, that was so strange.
Clip that. This is the part The Athletic is going to clip and put on their tweet.
Yeah, it's so bizarre, weird, you know, crazy. It's just crazy times. You never know what's going to happen in this corona era. I want to give a big thank you to all the listeners who are probably at home right now. Stay safe. Follow the rules. Help flatten the curve. Want to give a big thanks to Jade. And good luck. Good luck to everybody out there, man. Woo. Ending on a woo. All right, thanks, guys.
You got to put Trump's woo in there. You got to put it there.
Be clear.